You've seen our research on social media. Now, join us as we dive deeper into the public health topics of our time, featuring new studies and findings generated by our faculty and researchers committed to advancing health equity. From the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC, this is Preventive Pros, the podcast.
Hi, my name is Jane Steinberg, and I'm Associate Professor and Director of Public Health Practice for the Master's in Public Health, MPH program. Even though my background is in behavioral science and policy, and I've done research in these areas, increasingly I've become more involved in workforce development, particularly in my role in the MPH program as getting students ready for public health careers. So today I'm going to talk about workforce development for public health students. So when we talk about workforce development, really what we're doing is talking about preparing them for work after they receive their degree, whether it be after receiving their bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree. In this case, since I work in USC's MPH program, I'll be focusing primarily on the master's level graduate skills that are needed in the workforce. So when I refer to workforce, really what I'm doing is referring to those types of organizations that are most likely to hire public health graduates. This would include governmental agencies, such as local, state, federal health departments, such as the Centers for Disease Control, or international government agencies. So that's one group. Another large employer of public health graduates is what we call sort of generally healthcare organizations. This could be clinics, hospitals, managed care organizations. Another group that is increasingly hiring public health graduates are community-based organizations or non-governmental organizations. So this could be small to mid-size or even large nonprofits, right? Non-governmental organizations. And then another group that hires our graduates are research organizations. This could be universities, hospitals that conduct research, private sector organizations like pharmaceutical companies, organizations that run clinical trials and the like. So these are sort of the large buckets where our students are getting jobs. Now, of course, students, the workforce encompasses more than these organizations, but I would say that these are kind of the larger employers of graduates. But what I like to do is to think about workforce development training as encompassing a few key areas. So one are specific skill sets that are needed in the public health workforce that our students should develop. So these are the skill sets that when the student is looking for the job description, it's clearly identified. This could be skills such as data analysis and interpretation, strong writing skills, skills in policy analysis, if that's what the job entails, research-specific skills like conducting literature reviews, focus groups, developing surveys, having skills in specific computer programs. So these are general skills that really can be applied to any public health career. Sometimes people refer to these as hard skills. I don't like that term, but I like to say just specific skill sets. Another group of skills are very important in workforce development training, and that's skills in negotiation, people skills, right? Leadership, cultural humility. Increasingly, we're seeing a real need to address, for example, diverse patient populations' linguistic needs by providing appropriate services, emotional intelligence, working with different types of people, skillfully communicating, and the like. Some call these soft skills. I don't like that term. I don't know of another term, but those are really the people skills that are absolutely critical. Some of these skills that I talked about were identified in a set of focus groups that we conducted with community public health leaders approximately a year and a half ago. So what we were trying to do was to identify what leaders learned during the COVID pandemic in the way of skills that were needed by graduates entering the workforce. So we interviewed a handful of clinic directors, managed care organizations, nonprofit organizations, as well as local health departments. Some additional skills that the public health leaders talked about were readiness for future pandemics. In fact, most of the people we interviewed talked about this, looking back on the pandemic. For example, clinical quality improvement skills, regulatory compliance, operations management, A lot of these types of skills are absolutely needed, not only in pandemics, but in general public health practice. Another key area that came up was the importance of effective translation of scientific information to the community. Risk communication training. How do you provide, for example, information to the public that keeps changing as the science changes while maintaining public trust? We saw this was a big issue during the pandemic. Think about, for example, changing CDC recommendations for testing and isolation as the science changed. So these are really key skills that leaders identified as being important moving forward. Our local non-governmental community-based organizations discussed the importance of graduates really being comfortable with working with populations that look different from their own. Having a deep understanding, for example, of causes of social inequities and social determinants that could impact health, and really being aware of our own biases. Again, a lot of these issues came up during the pandemic, and it allowed our community-based leaders to look back and focus on these as being really important skills that our students should address and learn before they enter the workplace. Leaders also discussed how new graduates really need to be nimble and flexible, as needs often change in community-based organizations. You might be writing a grant one day, something happens, you lose your funding, you have to quickly pivot. So we know that school is a very linear endeavor. Students take predetermined classes, they get grades, they move on to the next class. But being nimble, being able to drop one program potentially, start another, absolutely key in the time that we're in. Then governmental leaders discussed really how there were specific skills that were identified as a core workforce need, such as public health informatics. This is a way of you systematically capture, you analyze, and you apply information to improve population health, such as working with large public health information systems. They also talked about creative and new ways of conducting epidemiological surveillance, having better or more nimble tools for forecasting or analyzing outbreaks. They spent a good amount of time, these leaders, talking about technical skills, such as experience managing and visualizing data, using Excel, ArcGIS, similar software. All of these skills that provide individuals with tools needed to prevent, prepare for, and respond to epidemics, including translation of technical scientific information to populations in different languages, really having, again, the cultural humility and understanding of different populations. So what I wanted to do was to provide a little bit of history and some background of what we're calling generally this workforce landscape. So again, I'm going to draw on the COVID pandemic. So as we saw with the pandemic, governmental public health is one of the key players in community prevention and treatment efforts. But the landscape of the public health workforce is rapidly changing, and this impacts where our graduates are working. So prior to the COVID pandemic, up to a third of the public health workforce was reported to be eligible for retirement. Then in 2021, we saw an acceleration of even more retirements due to staff burnout from extraordinary demands that were being placed on public health workers to respond to the pandemic, coupled with having to get funding quickly for public health departments, the need to be nimble and scale up fast, which is oftentimes difficult in a large bureaucratic organization. But this nimbleness was needed to respond to data, surveillance needs, communication with the public, contact tracing, vaccine distribution, treatment, and the like. So at the same time that you're seeing this burnout and exodus of the workforce, in 2021, Columbia University did a national survey of public health graduates, and they found that only 17% of new graduates who were trained in public health were choosing to pursue a career in governmental public health sectors. This was a big change, given that health departments were traditionally the go-to employer for many public health graduates. There were a number of reasons for why this change occurred, factors related to lower pay compared to some other industries, coupled with high education debt that many students have, as well as challenging navigating the complex government career landscape. Also in California, we have the added need that we have an aging workforce. It's estimated by 2030, 20% of Californians are going to be over the age of 65, and the need for quality health care, public health services is going to substantially rise. So you've got this gap in the government public health workforce due to accelerated retirements, burnout, people choosing other careers. So what to do? So in order to fill some of these gaps of the shrinking government workforce, the federal government over the past few years has initiated grants to incentivize graduates to enter the field of public health. So for example, our department received a multi-year grant from HRSA to provide scholarships to MPH students who choose a public health path, career path in a government or community-based organization. So workforce development and career readiness are really key components of this training grant. But also, government is not the only player in public health, as we've talked about. Non-governmental organizations, clinics, hospitals, nonprofits, are increasingly focusing on population health as a part of their agency mission. So what's great is that public health graduates are being hired as community health educators, health policy analysts, data scientists, which is a growing field, grant writers, research associates, community health educators, environmental health analysts, people doing social media work and the like. So we're really seeing how the nonprofit sector is providing a fair amount of positions for public health graduates. What are considered hot public health jobs these days? Also quality improvement, regulatory affairs that I talked about before, particularly in clinic and hospital settings, data visualization. So there are plenty of jobs. So in terms of workforce opportunities for our MPH students while they're still in school, we really think of workforce development occurring before the students are launched into the workplace. So a few examples: in our public health practice course, students are learning leadership skills by working in groups to address a real-world public health challenge through a case study exercise where they apply their newly developed skills and critical thinking about an organization's needs. They apply negotiation skills, communication, et cetera, and then they present their case to a public health leader who evaluates them. Our global health program also has a very robust case study competition. So students are really learning how to work in groups and how to present a case before they enter the workplace. The public health practicum or required internship is the part of the curriculum where students get to, as I say, try on a public health experience. This is a required course. Students have to complete a competency-based practicum, typically over two semesters, with a public health agency, organization, research organization, and the like. The competencies are those skills that students are expected to learn and apply during their practicum. And then the students do what's called a capstone project, which is based on their practicum. And many of our students have utilized their practicum deliverables and their capstone projects as part of their portfolio when they interview for jobs. And a nice added bonus is our department faculty, many of them are involved in a myriad of research projects, and faculty often have research opportunities for students who can get experience working on a faculty member's project while they're still in school. We also have a wonderful MPH Career Services Office, which provides multiple workforce training opportunities for our students, such as mock interviewing practice, resume assistance. Our career services advisor has also developed a program for first-generation students that provides mentorship opportunities and helps these students navigate careers. And finally, we have an annual MPH Career Fair where employers come, meet with students, provide interviews. A number of our students have gotten jobs through these MPH Career Fairs. So another key part of workforce development I wanted to talk about was fellowships. Students oftentimes may not feel ready to jump into the workforce, so there are governmental and private sector fellowships that are geared for public health graduates. So these are paid mentored assignments that consist of either research, where a student graduate would work independently or part of a larger project, or the fellowship is training within a specific field. And fellowships are great, in my opinion, because they really allow recent graduates with opportunities to further explore a particular field of work, which really helps in their future decision-making regarding career choices. The nice thing, I believe, is that fellowships can really provide opportunities in a range of areas such as cultural and workplace immersion, expanding both professional and personal networks, and fast track to job opportunities, and experiential learning and professional development. So the recent graduate is getting a lot of real world job experience without being locked into a job necessarily. And even the process of applying to these fellowships is, we've found, has been highly beneficial to students when they're still in school and they're applying for these fellowships. It helps them clarify, oftentimes for the first time, their goals and interests, to articulate their values and plans for the future. It helps them improve their presentation and interview skills. So public health foundations, or foundations that would hire public health graduates, is definitely a focus of a lot of our work. Another area that students do get workforce development opportunities is through our guest speaker network. Many of our MPH classes have at least one class session or two where guests from the public health field come and discuss their work. So this exposes students to real-world public health. It allows them to learn what are some of the current and emerging challenges in the field. Seeing public health leaders is a great way for the students to connect what they're doing in the classroom with what they're doing in the field. An added bonus is that many of our guest speakers are MPH alumni from our program. The Trojan Family Network is a thing. It's a great way to connect with opportunities. In fact, a number of our students have gotten jobs after or practicums from hearing a guest speaker. They follow up with them. And this is why we really work with our students to make sure that their LinkedIn profiles are updated, that they join some of the other USC MPH LinkedIn groups. It's a wonderful network. Visit our website to learn more about our Master's in Public Health program in the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences, Keck School of Medicine at USC.
Preventive Pros, the podcast, is produced by the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC. To learn more about any of our episodes, or to subscribe to our monthly Preventive Dose newsletter featuring the latest in public health research and news, visit pphs.usc.edu/podcast. Thank you for listening.